can the church thrive in 2025?
Can the church thrive? And, you know, I believe the answer to that is yes. I know there's a lot of folks and a lot of places that say, well, you know, the church age is gone and stuff about the church is over and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to encourage you and myself also that, yeah, God can still do things in 2025. Whether we really think so or not, I mean, that's not even the pertinent issue, is that we should think so. We should have some faith. We should have some thought toward that. But with that in mind, take your Bible and look with me in Luke chapter number 14. I want you to look in Luke chapter number 14, and Jesus has been talking and teaching, and the Pharisees and all these religious folks have been near him, and they've been kind of watching, and you know how they're going to do him anyway. They're going to keep their eye on him and see if they can catch him in something, and they're listening to his teaching, and then his teaching gets a little bit close to them. As he begins this little section here throughout the whole chapter, Jesus is discussing the need of including and helping other people. And he's throwing it really at them. You can, you know, begin to look at that sometime when you got a chance. Read that chapter, and you'll see where Jesus, talks about how that they get on him about healing somebody on the Sabbath. Amen? I mean, isn't that crazy? Isn't that just kind of ridiculous? If somebody is sick and they need something, as Jesus told him, he said at one of the other places, he said, if your ox gets in the ditch on the Sabbath, you pull him out. Amen? You don't let him stay there. You try to, be an encouragement. Try to help people. Well, then he comes on through, and then he begins to tell some stories, some parables about the things about the kingdom of God. And the people are listening, and they're thinking, man, this is a great thing that Jesus is saying. And as a matter of fact, I think, what is it, verse number 15, and one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, and he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I mean, they're hearing Jesus tell these stories, and they're thinking, man, it's a great thing if we can just sit and eat bread in the kingdom of God. And that's what a lot of folks think it is. Hey, it's a good thing just to get together at church and let's just hoop and holler and have a hallelujah time. And I'm not against that, but that's not all there is to it. So Jesus begins to tell a little story about a man having a supper and how the people were bidden. And then when it came time to have the supper, some of those that were bidden, what did they have to say? Well, it said they began to make excuse. Well, I bought a piece of ground, one of them said, and I got to go check that out. Another said, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I got to go check them out. Another said, I got married. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. And I can't come. So, everybody's got an excuse. Don't we live in a day when people have got an excuse? Amen. I mean, people got excuses, and, I listen to them, and I try to be understanding. But so Jesus, he just kind of, he says, look, the Lord of the feast got kind of upset about that. He sent his servants out and said, don't worry about those that I've bidden to come. He said, you go find the maimed and the blind and the halt and, people with all kinds of problems, and you bid them to come in. I want my house full. And so he's throwing some of these things at those people. And that goes on through down verse number 24. But I want you to start reading with me at verse 25. And it said, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. For whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while he's yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewithal shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the afternoon. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us. And I pray now you just draw us close to you. Help us to hear you. And I pray you bless those that are here in the auditorium, those that are listening by way of Facebook. And Lord, will you just speak to all of our hearts about following you and being more like you and loving you and being a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus. And we'll just thank you today. And I pray you save the lost. Speak to those that need you more than anything. And we're going to praise you and worship you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 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 Well, how many of y'all have ever heard the old song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Y'all heard that? You heard it? Everybody pretty familiar with it. 12 Days of Christmas. Let me just tell you what the 12 Days of Christmas are. I mean, just so you know. You remember, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. Amen. Well, if you remember, the rest of it goes, and every day they add something. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge and a pear tree. And it goes all down. There's three French hens and two turtle doves and a partridge and a pear tree. Four calling birds, and then the remainder. Five gold rings, six geese a-laying, seven swans a-swimming, eight maids a-milking, nine ladies dancing, 10 lords a-leaping. Boy, I'd like to see that, wouldn't y'all? And 11 pipers popping and 12 drummers drumming. And some of you are sitting there saying, what in the world's that got to do with what Jesus just said? Well, yeah, hang on for a minute. Do y'all know, if you go to the grocery store, the price of everything has gone up? Somebody does a study on the 12 days of Christmas every year. They do this little study on the 12 days of Christmas. And this year, if you gave everything that's on the 12 day of Christmas list to your true love, right? Isn't that what it says on the first day of Christmas? My true love gave to me because they love me. I don't know how a partridge in a pear tree shows love, but apparently to somebody it does, right? So they go through this whole long list and they convert it into today's dollars. Now, again, I don't know where they found ladies dancing and lords a-leaping and maids a-milking and swans a-swimming and all that kind of stuff. But whoever did, they put a list together and listened to what it would cost you for the 12 days of Christmas in 2024. It is $49,263.47. Woo! They must be a true love. If they're going to spend $50,000 on you for Christmas, send them my way. Amen. I didn't hardly spend that much on this little girl. And I really love her. But we didn't go that far, did we? Okay. $50,000. I mean, and the point of that is everything has a cost. Everything that we get involved with, it has a price attached to it. And if you look at the story that Jesus gives here, he says, look, can I tell you something? If you want to be a disciple of mine, there is a cost that's attached to it. There's a cost. As I said, you know, we're talking about can the church thrive in 2025? Well, today I want to talk to you about counting the cost to thrive. There is a cost that is associated with us thriving in the work of the Lord. It's going to cost you something. And I'm going to tell you, $49,000, that's a lot of money. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is looking for maybe more than that out of me and you. Now, he doesn't want your money, But he wants you, amen, and he wants you to come and trust in him and believe in him, and what he says here is to take up your cross and follow him, amen. That's what Jesus is saying to us. And I'm telling you, when Jesus is here, he is discussing with these folks about the matters of following him. And as you read there in the very first verse, look there in verse 25, the first verse we read, it said, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them." Jesus knows that there are many occasions, and you and I can read it, there's a lot of occasions where there's a lot of folks that are interested in what's going on at the time. Can I tell you, I believe there's a lot of folks like that today in what I'm going to call the religious world. There's people that are really interested, but that may be as far as what they're willing to do goes. They're interested, but don't look for too much more, preacher. Don't ask too much more. I'm interested, and I'm following. I'm looking. I'm going along. But don't get me in here too deep. And I want you to realize that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to realize there is a cost. And I want you to notice how Jesus brings this idea of the cost out. Do you see what he says? He says in verse number 28, he said, "Do you realize that there is a cost if you want to build your life in the right way?" He said, "For which of you intending to build a tower?" If you're going to build something, he said, you'll sit down and you'll look at what it's going to take to get the job done, right? He said, if you're going to build, you need to know the cost. And you look at a second thing that he says, verse 31. "Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. You're going to have to sit down again and count the cost of doing battle. And I want to tell you, Jesus wasn't just saying, let me think of some little clever parable to tell that... It wasn't that. These have some specific ideas behind them. And it's building and it's battling. I mean, those two ideas are what it's going to take for me and you to be the right kind of disciple in this process of following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's going to take. So let's look at them just for a few minutes this afternoon. Let's talk about what the Lord Jesus is saying. I want you to notice that he's talking about to be a disciple, it's going to cost you something. You see that? Jesus said the very first part there in verse 26 and verse 27. He said, if any man come unto me, if you want to be a disciple, he said, you got to hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brethren, your sisters, yea, and your own life. If you don't do that, you can't be bound by a disciple. And he said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I mean, Jesus put some parameters on this thing right off the bat. Now, you see that word hate, where he said you got to hate your father and your mother and all. Now, the idea behind that is they got to come in second place to Jesus. All right, I mean, he's not talking about you go over to your dad and say, I hate you. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about priority and where something falls in the realm of your love. Something's going to be on the top of love, and then the other things below that will have a degree of hate to them. And I'm telling you, friend, Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, there's a lot of stuff got to get in line behind loving him. A lot of stuff got to fall in there. So first of all, let's just notice this. While you're looking at this, I want you to notice the thing that Jesus talks about and what I think he can see in these people is what I'm going to call, first of all, the appeal to our eyes. The appeal to our eyes. Now, you notice there in verse number 25, there's a lot of folks following Jesus. There went great multitudes with him. There's a lot of folks. Can I tell you, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but in a way, you've got what I'm going to call a wrong envisioning of this whole process. All right? There's an appeal to our eyes, and it's a wrong thinking, really, in our way. But isn't it amazing how many people look at the religious world and religious leaders and maybe religious followers, and they think, man, look at old so-and-so. He's almost a rock star. I want to tell you, in that day, I believe that those folks were following Jesus like people follow celebrities today. They follow a celebrity around, and they just ooh and ah. I mean, you know, I don't care about what any person, I can't even think of anybody right now, but I don't care about what they're doing. I mean, it doesn't impress me that some great talented singer and, you know, where he lives and all. But, man, people buy those magazines because why? Well, the world tells us inquiring minds want to know. And isn't that the way that it is? I mean, wow. Did you know that so-and-so, the rock star, has got a swimming pool shaped like a fish? Glub, glub. That's all I got to say about that. I mean, who cares? But people do care. I mean, apparently, a lot of people care, or they wouldn't be selling that stuff. I mean, there's people that sit up on TV, and they watch, you know, the crowning of the prince over in England and all that, or the marriage of some of those royals. They'll sit there for hours and watch, and they'll say, do you know what prince so-and-so does? Oh, did you see how they were dressed? Who cares? Amen? I mean, really? Did it help you any? Did it gain you anything? I don't know what it does for us, but people are enamored by that. And I believe some people are like that by some of our religious leaders. I believe you could almost say that about Jesus. Hey, we're going to go follow Jesus. Come on. Man, this is going to be great. He's going to feed everybody. He's going to heal the blind. Just, man, this is going to be something. Come on, let's go follow him. That ain't what Jesus is looking for, y'all. That's what a lot of folks think about it. I mean, do you know you can pack out an arena in our day and we've got, who's his face in there, and we're going to have a healing line. You bring them blind. You bring them just half dead. You bring them and get them in our healing line, and woo, it's going to be a big time deal. And now people will fill up a 50 or 60,000 person arena just to see a sideshow like that. In the name of religion. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. That is a wrong envisioning of the process here that Jesus is talking about. First of all, they got a wrong envisioning. I mean, this is not a rock star. And the second thing is, they got a wrong expectation. As I said, these folks are coming along and they say, oh, did you hear the story? Jesus is the Messiah. You know what he's probably going to do next? He's probably going to go over there and overthrow the Roman officials. We're going to have our country back, and everything's going to become the magnanimous kingdom of God right now. And they had it wrong. Their expectation was that Jesus, in all that he was saying, they were expecting him to come and show up and do what they were thinking. And do you know, we got a world doing that today too. I mean, you just pick up your Facebook page. You just sit there and listen to the TV. I see some of the people that, and I'm no judge, I'm not the judge, but I see people out there that probably don't know the Lord from nothing. If they met him downtown face to face, they wouldn't know him if they met him. And they say, oh, our prayers are for, you know, you're hearing it right now, for all these people out in Hollywood and out in L.A. We should pray for them. And I believe, you know, that's a good sentiment. But there's a lot of folks, God hears. You better go back and read your Bible. Because the Bible said the only thing God hears out of a sinner is, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Amen? Amen? But see, this crowd's got an expectation. Well, guess what Jesus is going to do next? He's going to overthrow the Roman government. We're about to be back on top, and it'll probably just bring God's kingdom right now. And everything, woo, come on, let's follow him. Let's see the show. And I believe that's what they're thinking. That's the way their minds are set right now. And then I want you to know this. They've They've got also got a wrong idea, and Jesus points this out to them. You got a wrong idea about the expense of this thing of following me. You see that? Jesus tells them. There's great multitudes following him. And with great emphasis here, Luke says, Jesus turns around and he looks at them. He ain't just saying, well, come on, let's just have a big time. He turns around and he looks at them. And when he looks at them, what does he say? He said, if any man come to me, and he hates not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sister, yea, and his aunt. He said, you can't be my disciple. And believe it or not, if you read that, I've read it several times before this, and I thought, well, it looks like Jesus is trying to run them off. And in one sense, he is. He's trying to do a little weeding out here. He's trying to weed out those that are really going to be faithful and those that won't. I mean, this is not the only place you see it. If you look over in John chapter number 6, there's multitudes following him. And then Jesus begins to tell them who he is and what's going to happen and how he's going to die, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then he tells them, he said, except you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you have no part with me. And a bunch of them looked at him and said, that's a hard saying. Who can keep that? And it said that many of them turned away and they followed him no more. Sometimes it gets tough. And you got a wrong idea of the expense of this thing. Oh, buddy, we come down here, Jesus is going to feed everybody. Yeah, you're coming along because of the food. It tells you in here several times that the people followed him because of the miracles. They followed him because of the feeding. They followed him because of the sideshow, if you will, all the things they got to see. They weren't following Jesus. They're just kind of flowing along with the crowd. And I'm just telling you, that's the way that it is. That is what I'm calling here, as I say, the appeal to our eyes. Some things, you know, it looks pretty good. Amen? I mean, woo! You know, you can look at some things and you think, man, how exciting. I mean, you know, right now, of course, we're in the middle of football season, right? As far as the pros and the college guys are coming, and people will go, can I tell you something? If you go to practice with some of them boys that's playing down on the field, it won't be nearly as glamorous as you think it is. There's times that they'll go inside and they'll show some shots on the inside of a football locker room. Brother Alvin, say amen to this. Them places stink. Okay? It's sweaty old boys and men, and they stink. They got on their dirty clothes that they've been out there tackling and rubbing in the mud with. And they got on them helmets and their hair's all messed up. And they've been slobbering from putting their mouthpieces there. And I mean, man, but you know, you look at it on TV, woo, hallelujah. Get down there in the trenches with that crowd and see if you can shout any. Let somebody hit you a few times and knock you senseless and see how much shouting you do. Let them come. I mean, this bulldozer over. And what I'm saying is, it ain't nearly as glamorous as it looks like it is sometimes. Yeah, but preacher, they're making the big money. Well, you go down there, and if you can do it, you jump right in it. You'll be making a big, but you know why we're sitting over here cheering? Because we can't do what they're doing. Right? Isn't that what we're doing? We can't. They do because they can. Hey, y'all, I know y'all find this hard to believe. I can't hit a 400-foot home run. Up here I can sometimes. But when you put that bat in my hand, don't work out too good. That ball goes, and I'm like, where'd it go? I'm just telling you, there is that kind of mentality that people have. It's like, oh, wow, this is great. Well, it looks good to our eyes, but the reality is way different. So you see the appeal to the eye. But second of all, look at this. And Jesus gets down to this. I want you to see the actuality of the effort that's involved. I want you to see, what I'm saying is this. It is work to be a disciple of Jesus. It takes effort to live for the Lord. People say, well, preacher, I thought y'all always saying salvation's free. Salvation is free. Discipleship will cost you something to follow Jesus. And that's what he's saying. He said, if you want to follow me, if you want to follow me, he said, it's going to cost you something. There is an expense. I mean, there is something that is an actuality when you get here, right? I mean, I don't know whether you realize that or not, but there's an actuality to this thing. You know, I guess an old saying that all buildings and builders are not the same. You ever notice that about buildings? They're not all the same. They're not, we don't have every house looks the same. There's people build them and they design them and the architects and all these people make them different. And there's all kinds of builders. And I'm sure somewhere in your life, if you've ever had to deal with this, you'll have somebody come up and they'll say, well, we're considering so-and-so to build our house. Oh, you don't want him. Let me tell you what I heard about that company, or let me tell you what I heard about that builder. And they'll tell you. And you can go look. And you know, a good reputable builder will take you to some of the stuff he's built. And he'll say, check it out. Talk to these people. Ask them. See what kind of work's being done. Hey, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, look, you better count the cost of your building or something could be bad in what you come up with. Your end result might not be what you're thinking. First of all, let me tell you this, that Jesus says this, it takes some prudence to find the purpose. It takes some prudence. Listen to what he says. He says, for which of you, verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he've laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, was not able to finish. He said, I want you to think about this. When it comes to building yourself, and you know what we're building? We're building ourselves in Christ, and we're building ourselves for Christ. You remember what Paul said? He said that there's only one foundation you can build on. He said, but let every man beware. He said, because there's just that one foundation. But you can build with gold and silver and precious stone, or with wood, hay, and stubble. And he said, one of these days, the fire of God's going to reveal what kind of work you've done in your life. Amen? You ever considered that? Well, what does that mean, preacher? As I said, there's a difference in buildings and builders, right? I mean, we all know the three little pigs. Somebody say, amen, right there. That's real spiritual, ain't it? The three little pigs. You know, one of them built his house out of straw, and one of them built his house out of sticks, and the big bad wolf came along and blowed all that away. But the other one built it out of bricks, and the big bad wolf couldn't blow that away. And Jesus said the same thing. People need to take heed how they build their spiritual lives. Your spiritual life, Jesus says, you better sit down and count the cost. In other words, this ain't some little old fun ride over here at the amusement park. This is something serious when you go to serve the Lord. As I said, do we want the church to thrive? If we want the church to thrive, we're going to have to get serious about serving and loving and doing for God. I mean, you've got to sit down and you've got to actually have some prudence, some wisdom in this matter. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower, don't sit down first and count the cost. Or do you just start and say, well, we'll just go as far as we can go. We'll build what we can build. It may be halfway. It may be nothing. It may be big. It may be little. You know, there's no sense in that. Again, if you've ever built a house, you know what most people do? They might first go and get their plans, and then they get somebody to look at those plans and they say, now give me an estimated price to build this project. Right? And that, I mean, doesn't that make sense? You want to know the price of finishing what you're going to start. I mean, you can't, trust me, the bank won't just say, well, you just come over here anytime, we'll lend you any amount of money. It'll be all right, just whatever you want. It don't work like that. The bank wants to know how much you're intending. The bank wants to know how much it's going to cost. The bank wants to know what your plans are. The bank wants to know a whole lot because it's their money and they've got a great interest invested in that project and in that money you're borrowing. So you got to do this right. Can I tell you, Jesus is looking at me and you, and he said, you better figure out about how you want to serve God. You better use some wisdom. Hey, if you're going to start this thing, get in it and stay with it. Amen. But there's a lot of folks feel like this, like they do about marriage sometimes. Well, I've had people, we get married, and if it don't work out, we'll just get a divorce. That's a dumb idea to go into marriage with. Right? But there's people that go into marriage with that idea. There's people that go into this Christian life. Well, if it don't work out, God, I'll just drop out and hang over here on the side. That's dumb. Let me just tell you. That's not what Jesus is intending. He said, you need to sit down and consider all the cost. There is something, it takes some prudence in your purposing. I mean, you sit down and you say, now this is where I want to get, and I got to have some wisdom on how to get there. There's got to be some prudence. But not only that, it takes a willingness to push to produce what your end product is. You got to be willing and push to get there. Well, preacher, I had a bad day. I think I'll just quit church and sit at the house and just quit God. Well, that's ridiculous, isn't it? But I know people like that. Well, they hurt my feelings down there. Well, get away from there and go somewhere else. Or just get back in. Can I tell y'all something? It's tough to hurt my feelings. Because let me tell you, people have tried. I mean, people have actually tried. And I guess they thought they did it. And you know what? I just show up the next time like I ain't got no better sense. Like, hey, I'm back, y'all. Amen. We thought we hurt your feelings. Well, you might have hurt, but I don't care. I'm back again. How you doing? Amen? Huh? I mean, I've been there, really, honestly. I told y'all about the old guys. We was going to church down in Atlanta. And, you know, we'd get up to sing. Me and my wife get up and we'd go and sing. And I would always say, and it probably sometimes just a habit, I'd say, I want y'all to pray for us tonight while we sing. But I did. And one people, there's a guy come up to me, an older man after church. And he looked at me and he said, do you really mean what you say when you want us to come pray around that altar while you're singing? And we were just visiting the church at the time. The pastor's eyes got this big. We're standing back in the door. I mean, he looked like, oh, no. And I looked at the fella and I said, if that's what you want to do, come on up and you pray while we'll sing. So we left. We were going out the door. This is the end of the service, going out the door. And that was Sunday night. We come back Wednesday night, come in, and the pastor come over to me and he's shaking my hand. He said, man, I didn't think you'd be back. And I said, why'd you not think we'd be back? He said, from what that fella said the other night. And I said, if that was an insult or whatever, I don't know. That's his problem. It ain't mine. Amen. And that's the way you got to look at it a lot of times. It ain't, hey, some people might be having a bad day. They might be having some ill thoughts. They might, whatever they got. But I want to tell you something. You got to make up your mind that you're going to serve God. Amen. I mean, you got to sit down and count the cost. And say, look, I am pushing on through to produce the likeness of Christ in my life. I'm going to stay with it. I don't care what the rest of them do. Amen? Jesus said, I'll tell you, you better sit down and see if you got what it takes to finish this thing. You better see. And not only that, I mean, sometimes, and many times Jesus says here, it takes putting to death your own personal plan. He said, if you're not willing to put other stuff behind you, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If you're not willing to put other things behind you and say, Christ comes first. There was an old preacher, and right now his name escapes my thinking, but he was one of these in the probably pre-Civil War era or whatever, but he was an old preacher that said this. He said, only one life and soon will be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. Amen? Well, the odd thing about that is this fella wanted to go be a missionary. his family was wealthy. And they wanted to talk him out of it. And they tried to talk him out of it. And they said, if you go do that, you'll be cut out of the family will. And they were worth, at that time, in the pre-Civil War time, worth millions of dollars. And you know what he said? See ya. I'm going to go serve the Lord. And he went into foreign countries, foreign missionaries, went to see people get saved, left millions and millions of dollars behind. But you know what he said? Only what's done for Christ will last. That money will fade, that fame, that whatever it would have been, that's all in the rearview mirror. I'm going to go serve the Lord. I'm telling you, sometimes you've got to get that priority straight, folks. You've got to get your priority straight that I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm just going to live for him. But you could do this. You could do that. You could be here. You could be.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But I want to tell you, I'm making up my mind. I want to be like Paul. Paul said, look what I could have been. Look who I was. Look what my future even looked like. He said, but all that was gain to me, I counted it as loss that I might win Christ and be found in him. So I'm just telling you, that's what a disciple. Remember the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. Oh, what good thing must I do to? And Jesus said, sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and come on, follow me. And he said, I can't do that. Dropped his head and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And a lot of preachers have said, and great possessions had him. Right? Isn't that the way it is? But Jesus says here that you've got to count the cost of this thing. That word count means this. It means to compute or it means to calculate. Back in that day, the Greeks did their, and a lot of y'all have seen them, they're counting by a little, what they called an abacus. You had little rocks or little stones that were on wires that were on a frame, and you counted and you did your accounting. And believe me, I've looked at one and I ain't figured it out yet. Amen? But they could use them, and, you know, each line meant something like tens and hundreds and thousands and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, hallelujah. Y'all don't have that. You ever play with slide ruler? I remember that when I was in school. They had a slide ruler. These guys over there doing this and that, and they figured it out. And they say, the answer is 0.63 whatever. You know, and I'm like, does anybody tell me how to get this thing started? Hey, I haven't figured it out yet. I'm just telling you, hey, you got to learn how to count, and you got to learn what counts. You got to learn the things that count. So Jesus is telling them here, man, you've got to realize this is some work. There's some effort involved in following and being my disciple. Let's look at one last thing. Let's look at the appalling admission when there's error. I want you to understand this, man. When something happens like this, do you see what he says? He says, for you want to sit down and count the cost, whether you've got sufficient, you've got enough to finish it. He says, lest happily, after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You ever seen anything like that? There are places you can go in Walker and Catoosa County, and they've started a subdivision, and something happened. And, you know, me and Lynn was driving around one day. We went by this place, and they had some gates up and the little stone entrance things and all that. And it was just empty field. And I said, man, I wonder what happened. seen folks? Oh, buddy, they'd start out in church like a wildfire. Woo, they'd hooping and hollering and there's a run. Well, hallelujah. And you couldn't find them with a search warrant in about 3 or 4 months. Amen? What happened? What happened? I don't know what happened, but I can tell you this. They are bringing, and if we're not careful, any of us can bring an embarrassment upon the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, let me tell you, here, when you look at the appalling admission of this error, when you look at this and you think, oh my goodness, what has happened? You see what it says? They're worried about, Jesus says, if he laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Can I tell you, first of all, there is some derision that comes that person's way. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I've even said it before. I've seen people come to an altar and get up and go, and I have thought, I might not have said it verbally, but in my heart I thought, let's see how they do. Shake your head, you've been there too. I've looked at people and I said, they ain't going to make it 3 months. They ain't going to make it 6 months. There ain't no way they can make it. Amen? We used to have this old guy that was a missionary. First church I pastored, he was a missionary there. And he worked at Combustion up in Chattanooga. Had a good job back in the, I guess it was probably back in the 70s. Had a real good job at Combustion, making, you know, great money. Said he walked in there one day and told them guys, he said, God called me to the mission field. And he said, they all started laughing at him. And they said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to be a missionary. God called me on the mission field. And he said, they laughed. And they said, well, how much support you got? He said, right now, I got $50 a month. He said, and that made them laugh even that much more. He said, that's all I have, $50 a month. And they said, well, you surely you're going to hang around here a while and build up some money. And he said, no, I come tell y'all bye, I'm leaving. And he said, they just laughed and pointed their finger and shake their heads and say, can't believe you're leaving this great job and all that. He said, but this is what God wants me to do. Amen? And you know what he did? He just went on, got on the mission field, and God blessed him. Amen? Matter of fact, Brother Steve Cohen's got an uncle. And same thing happened to him. My daddy worked with him, worked with Steve's uncle. And he said he came in and told them all that he was going to go, you know, pastor a little old church. And they said, you'll starve to death. Well, you ain't no money there. God can't take care of you. You're going to be, you know, all that. He's still preaching today, ain't he, Brother Steve? Yeah. Amen. Sanford Deber, how old is he? 92. Isn't that amazing? They said, you won't make it a month or two. He's been gone for a long time from that place. You know what? They're shut down, and he's still preaching. Amen. So that just tells you how good a deal that was. Amen. I'm just telling you, man, when you get in this thing, and you don't make up your mind. You don't say, hey, I mean, people will make fun of you if you start and you can't finish. They'll make fun of you if you do start, even. But especially if you can't finish it, they're going to make fun of you. They're going to point the finger, they're going to mock. And I'm telling you, as I say, there's going to be derision for those that start but can't finish. But can I tell you this? Hey, there's disappointment in this field. I mean, these people look at it. As I say, could you imagine the person that done it? Not just those that are looking at it saying, oh man, he started and he can't finish. But the disappointment in the heart of the person that started and doesn't finish. There's disappointment there. There's disappointment. I've talked to people and you could tell it. Even when they say, well, you know, somebody said something to me at church or they and this and that and the other, whatever happened. But I could tell down on the inside of them there was a disappointment that they didn't just hang in there and stay with what they knew. Let me encourage you to stay there. Just plug in, get your feet ground down deep. I mean, just hang in there and say, Lord, I'm here. Amen. I'm yours and I'm here. Because if you don't, it'll bring disappointment. And the last of all, hey, can I tell you this? You can see that it brings defeat. Look what he talks about, a king. 31. He said, or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? He said, now, you sit down and you think about that. He's got twice as many warriors, twice as many soldiers as you do. He said, what do? You consult. You think about it. You compare, if you will, whatever you got to do. He said, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. You know what he does? He says, I can't win this battle, so I'll see if I can't figure out some way to find peace. Can I tell you, boy, you and I have got enough on our side that we can win every time. We can win the battle because Jesus is on our side. Jesus is the one that keeps us. Jesus is the anchor and the rock of our soul. Amen? Oh, listen, have you counted the cost of being a disciple for Jesus? Have you counted? Are you ready to quit, give up, throw in a towel, walk away? May the Lord help us, encourage us, strengthen us to stay and thrive in 2025. You know, we look at it and we say, oh, preacher, you see what's going on? Oh, they're against the church today. Sure they are. They've always been against the church. But can I tell you, the Lord's always been for the church. And you've just got to count the cost of following him. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a psalm. Hey, there's a cost.